Hello, 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 everybody. Happy Tuesday, and welcome to the Women of Vision show here on KCNR. I am Haley Clandenny.
And I'm Maurice Brown. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Yes.
And I'm Sarah.
I was going to say, I'm not saying your name for you. You say it. A resident unicorn. Hope everyone's having a great Tuesday and enjoying this weather. It's been so nice.
Yes, let's keep it that way.
Yeah, minus the wind. If you guys know me, I don't like wind. I know it's dumb, but it's true. But we are sitting down tonight with, she is really quite amazing, you guys. So I know I don't normally read off bios, but there's just too much that we don't want to miss. So yeah. We are sitting down. Welcome to the show, Gloria Kimbwala.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I'm so glad that you're here. And it's been a while since I have seen you last, so it's nice to get to be face-to-face again.
Yes.
Yeah, so Gloria is, okay, guys, just hope you're seated. but she is the CEO and founder of Shule, which is a startup that uses blockchain to create, store, and verify micro-certificates for underserved learners, which I can't wait to talk to you a little bit more about that.
Yay.
She is also very passionate using blockchain technology to empower people economically, and she enjoys making the blockchain ecosystem an inclusive and diverse space for all. She recently presented to the United Nations on how to get more women into technology, specifically blockchain. And she's also named one of the top 10 women in FinTech by FinTech ranking. And she also serves on the technical advisor, as a technical advisor on the board of directors for the Society of Women Coders, which is so rad, and runs the Ask Gloria advice column in Reinvented Magazine. So I don't know how she has spare time, but in her spare time, you can find her coding with her sons, doing yoga and playing the drums.
Yeah.
So that's incredible. And my stepson loves coding.
Yeah.
That was like his little break when we were doing homeschooling. Thank the Lord, now it's done.
Yeah.
But that would be his deal. Like he didn't want to do some of the other things. So he'd be like, well, can I code for a while? And I'm like, well, that's still work, but sure. And he loved it. That was like his break time.
I don't know. When I hear that, it goes way over my head.
Oh, half of this. I was just like, blockchain. Well, okay.
Yeah. We're going to have another episode of that.
No,
yeah.
Seriously, just about what you do. So how exactly did such a multifaceted woman as yourself end up here in Reading? We need a little bit of background info, girl.
Yeah. So my background is technology. I've always done diversity in technology, specifically how do you get software engineers into technical spaces, how do you remove barriers to make both the technology industry much more diverse and creating a sense of belonging.
Okay.
And so I've had that lens of that for a while. I worked at Square, and so Square's motto is economic empowerment. So
right.
I've always had, you know, economic empowerment and diversity at the forefront of my beliefs. And I was doing a lot of work there at Square, getting all different types of people through the door, removing barriers and making sure that all people were welcome not only in our space at Square, but also in the tech industry. And so I'm always like calling out like, hey, that would make this group not feel welcome or whatnot. And
okay.
So I did that for, 3 years. I was plugging around in my career down in San Francisco and Oakland. And I had a like, surprise, baby.
Yay.
And I was like, okay, well, here I am at the top of my career. I'm doing great. What can I do? And so the thing that I did was move with grandma and grandpa near them so they can help facilitate when I'm gone all the time. So I have in-laws that have been living in this area in Reading and Anderson ever since like I've known them. So I've been with my husband for 17 years. So I've been coming to Reading all during that time. And so I knew like, okay, it's 2 hours away. Grandma and grandpa are here. They could help, help with my husband when I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
It just
Absolutely.
Was going to make a good point for me. But, I grew up in Orange County. This is still California. So even though I come up to Reading, I didn't know like what it was to like live in Reading until we moved here. And so that was like our big thing was, we're going to move. We kind of moved blindly. And I was initially kind of shocked because I've always lived in like massive cities.
I was just going to say, it's a little bit of culture shock.
It was.
Going from Orange County
yeah.
and the Bay Area and stuff to
here.
To little Reading.
And it was so funny too because like my biggest fear was like, oh my God, there's no Nordstrom's. Like, how do I get Nordstrom's when I come up here?
Oh my God, I love it.
And, you know, through the time I've realized, like, that's not even, like, my biggest concern. But I've gotten to find my little community while I've been here. We've been here for 3.5 years living here. And my son, my youngest son was born here. My kids go to school here. And so when people are always like, you're not from Reading or you don't live in Reading, I'm like, no, I live here. I'm just always traveling. You know, I'm always traveling or always gone, but this is my base.
Okay.
So yeah. Your work takes you places.
Yeah. So my work takes me places all over the world. Sometimes it's leading diversity and inclusion trainings for different organizations. I went, again, to the UN in Geneva, and so that just talking there led to doing the same type of trainings that I give here over in Europe. So we actually had in October, from October to January, we were in Amsterdam for 3 months, in the Netherlands for 3 months, just living, you know, different cultural world, schooling with my son. And then I was in San Francisco during the week and then Reading on the weekends when we came back, because I was doing some work out in San Francisco, some blockchain work. And then COVID happened and I came home and we've been stuck inside the house for the last 3 months. So.
You're really getting to know Reading.
I'm really, I don't know about Reading, but my four walls, I know that really, really well. So, yeah.
So what was that experience like in Geneva? I mean, what a great
That's so incredible.
That whole experience was so eye-opening, not only just to like go to be in Geneva and be like, okay, when I got the email that said, like, we want you to come to the UN, I almost threw it away. But then I was like, okay, if this is really you, just, like, call me. I want to hear, you know, just call me. We'll discuss it, you know, blah, blah. And the person talked, like, called me back, and I was like, oh, my gosh, they really want me to go to the UN. Like, why do they want me to go to the UN? And it's really because my work had, like, preceded me and said, like, yes, we really want to talk about these issues. And because of being tied to the UN has these sustainable development goals. And so you really, when you're proposing a talk, you really have to talk about these sustainable development goals and, like, what do these really mean? And sometimes it can be the right to equal education. It can be an economic goal or Black Lives Matter is really under a goal number 16. It's like a social justice and social equality goal. And so once I decided yes to going to speak to the UN and all the weight that that carries, I knew that I would have to live my life accordingly to those goals.
Oh, wow.
And it became extremely important to me if I'm going all over the world and talking about diversity and change and a sense of belonging all over the world, but there wasn't that in my own hometown, that I really should do the work in my hometown first before I would go back and go try to do it anywhere else. So that's why it became a really personal issue for me.
Yeah. So, like, expand on, like, just briefly, like, what is we have 2 minutes.
I was going to say, right, because that'll be a perfect place, honestly, to start when we do come back, because it's going to fly.
Okay.
Talking with you, I feel like we're already creeping into our first commercial break. But that is, it's really incredible that you were able to do something like that and then bring that back to, like you said, to your hometown where you can help educate and spread more of the word here and how poignant it is at this point in time.
Right.
So very excited to talk to you about that when we come back from our first commercial break. So we will let our beautiful unicorn.
Hello, everyone. Sponsor unicorn here.
Yes,
our first sponsor is Linda Lingo of Linda Lingo Financial Coach. Linda inspires and guides women into clarity and confidence in their finances. She uses a 3-step customized process to guide women to financial freedom. Commit to changing your financial story, create an actionable financial roadmap, and put your plan into action. Our second one is Sarah Beck with Legal Shield. Personal and business legal insurance as well as identity theft for you. And then we also have Jesse Baldwin of Jesse Baldwin Certified Health Coach. Free health coaching services. Call 530-355-5929 to change with Jesse. We also have Patty Nadeau, Bargain Books and More, located at 836 Butte Street. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 through 6 p.m. Will do book trades. I go there every Tuesday before the show, actually. And then we have Josie Ramirez of Everbloom Skincare. She's at 660A Azalea Avenue, results-driven facials, natural acne clinic, botanical-based non-toxic skincare.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you, guys. Thank you, sponsors, so much for helping make sure that our show gets to be on the air. It's very special and important, and We're very grateful for you ladies. So we'll be back here shortly, the Women of Vision show here on KCNR.
Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenny.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned, expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dickus.
Pacific Justice Institute is pleased to announce the opening of its first office on the East Coast. You see, the office is in the New York City suburb of White Plains and will also serve New Jersey. Folks, the number of religious liberty requests for help from New York and New Jersey have greatly increased.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Women of Vision show here on KCNR. And we are going to be having a really amazing conversation with Gloria Kimbwala. Hello. Thank you again for joining us.
Yes, I'm glad to be here.
She's so sexy. Hello.
Hello.
I know. She's got a voice. She looks good.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
thank you.
Yeah. So you were just telling us a little bit about your talk in Geneva. And Maurice was about to hit you with a question, so I'll just go ahead and let you get back to that,
well,
Maurice, so we can dive right in.
Yeah, because my mind's just racing. I just feel like this woman has opened my eyes and my heart. I'm going to go back to the moment that happened, like before we jump into the topic. But your Facebook Live one time, or your video about like during the protest last Tuesday. It last Tuesday? And I was just like, I cried, like, watching that. And I want to know in your heart, like, were you scared when you posted that video? Like, what? Like, how did you, like, you know, like, it's so brave, and I just feel it's so vulnerable too, but so powerful, and so many people was just captivated by that.
So initially, the moment you're talking about is when I chose not to go to the protest.
Yeah.
And I chose not to go to the protest for a multitude of different reasons. But for me, I know the history of oppression of a lot of different groups and communities that I'm an ally and I stand in allyship for.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very internally, like, conflicted on, is this going to be a safe space for everyone who I say I'm an ally for?
Mm-hmm.
Or can I use my privilege in some other way? What seemed right? And for me, it just did not seem right for mm-hmm. me to be at that protest and say, throw my support and my endorsements mm-hmm. of that protest, because I know better, and I know that there's a whole bunch of communities that did not feel welcome at that type of protest,
okay.
you know, or don't feel welcome in a religious protest,
mm-hmm.
you know, like with the religious sentiments. So when I initially made the comment, you know, I didn't really fear anything then. I actually feared my reputation coming up to it
mm-hmm.
was more scary
yeah.
to say. But then I had to call my lawyer, you know, because I was like, well, if I get arrested, you know, I'm the black woman who's going to this other protest, and I told other people to go to this other protest, you know, what should happen? And that did kind of amplify, you know, a target on my back. But I talked to my lawyer, and I said, you know, hey, can you tell me what legal rights I have as a protester if I'm going to this other one that's an unpermitted protest? Like, how am I covered? I knew I would have bail money if I got thrown in jail. I knew I had that privilege. I knew that, you know, I kind of knew not to talk to anybody if I got thrown in jail. So I kind of had that sense of privilege. So he kind of went over my rights again. But he said, you know, Gloria, if you're getting death threats,
mm-hmm.
you should probably write your will and say your goodbyes. And
oh,
so I was
man.
Like, okay, now I'm going to have to do that and say my goodbyes, you know, call my mom, say goodbye to the people I want to say goodbye to, and somehow, in a non-traumatic form for my children, say goodbye to them in a way that would be deep enough, you know? And so I did that, you know, and then when I went to the march, you know, I was informed that there were snipers and, you know, you have all these other counter-protesters, and it can be really agitated, but I already knew that I had said all my goodbyes,
mm-hmm.
and I already knew that what will come, you know, that was fine. And I knew that even that aspect, to be able to say a goodbye, is still a privilege that the gentleman, like that George Floyd
mm-hmm.
and Breonna Taylor and all of these people that are, you know, kind of killed because of police brutality, that's a privilege that they did not have,
yeah.
you know. And so that kind of weighed on me, per se.
Mm-hmm.
And then even after that, it's like you still become a target. You still have people weird driving by your house. You have people in town where you, like, don't know, or they're giving you an aggressive look. But in all reality, I've been black my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So that in itself has always been here.
Yeah.
And even, like, the racism or the undercurrent of racism that our town kind of I've always experienced it since day one of being in Reading.
Mm-hmm.
So the fear from having the target on my back or anything else like that, that's, I've always had.
Kind of had.
I've always had this whole time. But I knew my community before it wasn't so rampant. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
so, like, in your face, per se, too. There was different ways of covert white supremacy and covert racism, but not so much in your face. But now, you know, if I chose to stay in fear, like this has now been a week, I'd be losing my mind completely,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I decided that I'm going to live in faith over fear. I know the people in Reading, and I know that they can recognize trauma. You know, we've all been through trauma as a city. And when they want to do better, they will do better. And the thing that actually taught me that was the car fire. You know, when you sit there and look at the car fire was a moment when the city said, this group of people right here are in trauma.
Mm-hmm.
This group of people need our full attention right now. I need everyone else that's not this group of people to stop, you know, and do whatever you can to open up your heart, open up your homes, open up your apartment book to help these group that are experiencing trauma. And as a city, we did that. We, like, had people who were, you know, strangers sleeping in stranger stores. We gave clothes out of our closets. We did everything that we could to help the group that's in trauma. And for me, Black Lives Matter is asking you to do the same thing, you know. So I want Reading to not have the narrative of being known as racist. Mm-hmm. You know, I want us to be anti-racist. And in order to do that, we have to exercise the same muscle that we used during the car fire mm-hmm. and apply it to the group that's now in trauma. And yeah. there's lots of other groups in trauma, but this group is in the most trauma right now.
So yeah, that's all good points. And now we are seeing that there's people who want to help.
Yeah.
But it's like where to start, how to help.
Yes.
But I think more than anything, like what we're talking about offline earlier is like, we need to start, like, we need to listen and learn, but also, like, I'm sure some people, it might be their first time ever hearing the term Black Lives Movement.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like,
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, yeah. So can we expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. So Black Lives Matter is when you are looking at historically, it's kind of like saying Black Lives Matter too. Historically, Black lives, Black narratives, those voices have been silenced. They've been cut off. They've been excluded, you know. And it's been, if you look at education, you know, there is segregation. If you look like in media, there's also an aspect where their perspective is not included in the narratives of perspectives that are being listened to.
Mm-hmm.
And so this chance that Black Lives Matter, it's Black Lives Matters too, you know.
Like yeah.
We matter as well. And what it covers is, like, I tell people it's all Black lives matter.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just say, yeah, well, Black women matter and Black men matter, but leave out the community of the LGBTQ. So when you say this march is solely about George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, you also leave out all the many Black trans women that also face police brutality and die out.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the problems that I have when you say it's only about these two groups of people. But you really get when you cover and say this is a Black Lives Matter protest,
mm-hmm.
it's all the lives that describe Black Lives Matter. It's all of the Black people that have followed, have had to have this trauma of police brutality. And we can recognize that there's other groups that also have trauma, and they stand in solidarity with us, you
mm-hmm.
know. But right now they're saying, hey, this group, again, is in trauma. We need to help them.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm absorbing a lot of it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Because
it is, it's something that we, like we were discussing too, education is key.
Yeah.
You know, and there are a lot of people, I include myself in that group, that feels like I'm fairly well educated, but, you know, this is important to me to
yeah.
sit and talk with you so that I can educate myself further
yeah.
on these topics so that I can figure out where my place is to, like you said, stand with everyone in solidarity with, you know, with Black lives, what I can do to make a change in my community and in my scope too, you know, the people that I come in contact with. So I'm very quiet because I'm listening and
yeah.
I really want to, you know, understand on a deeper level.
So for me, it's like, I know we have 2 minutes, so I'll give you the cover, the short version, but it breaks down to two things. I was born in the United States from an immigrant. So it's like an America issue, like the constitutional issue. And then the second one is it's a human rights issue. When you boil it down to everything, it's the Constitution and the human rights. And that's what I hold deeply onto. And we'll get to that on the other side of our
yes.
time.
Yes. Yes. I'm not even
sure. Sponsor Unicorn here. I make a reappearance. We have Deborah Mitchell with Deborah Mitchell of Oils and Young and Healthy Living. We have Michelle Lane of Michelle Lane Coaching. She is located in Chico, California. Michelle is a transformational facilitator of Elevate Workshops and Retreats for Women and a results-driven life coach helping you to get to the root of what's holding you back from the life you desire most. She helps women remember who they are beyond the daily hustle, obligation, and overwhelm so they can awaken and deepen their truth, intuition, and self-trust. We also have Ash and Jazz, I miss them, from From Within. They are located at 2449 Athens Avenue, organic spray tanning, infrared sauna, light therapy, natural teeth whitening, yoga, meditation, dance, hip-hop, fitness, Pilates, kids yoga, and kids dance. We also have Felicia from All Fired Up. She is at 1796 Churn Creek Road. She has pottery painting, life casting, board art, clay prints, clay infused glass workshops, and more. And then we have Dana. She is our Master Intuitive Life Coach, and she is magic, you guys. I highly recommend you look her up.
Thank you, Sponsor Unicorn. We will be back shortly after this break with Gloria Kimbwala here on the Women of Vision Show, KCNR.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more. A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Women of Vision show here on KCNR. And I hope that, you know, if you guys are new to the show, hopefully this is going to be a really powerful one for all of us. And hopefully it keeps you tuning in. And, well, I guess if you haven't, then you're not listening. But this is one you should be listening to, you guys. So you can always look back to on our live feed on Facebook.
Yeah.
Just so you know if you missed it. This is an important topic. So we are sitting down tonight with Gloria Kimbwala.
Hey.
She is amazing.
Thank you.
I mean, like I said, just very, such an accomplished woman. You're very well spoken.
Thank you.
And it's definitely an honor to have you in here kind of helping us all understand a little bit more about the Black Lives Movement.
Yeah.
And
Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter.
That's okay. I know. And that, it's my fault.
That's
baby
right.
brain. That's what I'm going to blame it on. So, but we were talking a little bit right before we went to break about the Constitution.
Yes.
And I'm just going to kind of let you dive back in a little bit about that. It was the Constitution and then...
So it's a human rights issue human and a constitutional issue for me. And, I mean, and of course, even deeper than that. Like, I think sometimes people try to pit the narrative of, like, it's good cop versus bad cop. It's, you know, Republican versus Democrat. I'm like, no, it's not really all of that. It's, this is, the whole scenario of it is, you know, it's a constitutional thing. As in the Constitution, you have rights, and those rights are there to protect you. One of the rights that people have is, the Miranda right. Like if you do get arrested, then you have the right to remain silent and ask for a lawyer and things of that nature. But when you think about it, when you start to think of law, you think of that you're innocent until proven guilty, mm-hmm. with a jury of your peers in a court of law. So no matter what someone's doing, they should ideally, we're not assuming they're guilty, you know, have evidence, go to court and have a trial. And that whole process is being like annihilated, and people are automatically assumed to be guilty. Yeah. And the thing that's making them guilty is the color of their skin. There's no other reason. It's not like the same scenario happens for the same group. It happens continuously for this group based on their skin. And the reason that is sometimes, or one of the reasons is the narrative that is constantly perpetuated is that big black boy scary, big black man scary, you know, big black anything scary, you know. I often tell people that I can walk in San Francisco all the time all by myself and not feel scared. And it's because everyone else is scared that I'm going to steal their thing, that I can walk like freely, wow. You know. And it's just the microaggressions, the stigmas that come up from that, you know. And that to me has to be eradicated, you know, because if we can't sit there and say like, no, everyone is covered by the Constitution, everyone has rights, then the Constitution, the fabric of the Constitution, if we say one group is not covered from it, then that whole fabric is gone. Yeah, it's like, it's pointless. Why do we even have it? It's the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Not only that, our Constitution, like so many people fought for, A, to have a Constitution, B, for it to include me as a woman, C, for it to include me as a black person, and then B, like D, all the fabrics of all our laws are based on the Constitution, and 5, you have like people overseas trying to protect us, you know, and our Constitution. So that whole fabric, the Constitution, is constantly being used. And I think about that when I think of the protests. You know, we had the protesters who are exercising their constitutional right for a peaceful assembly, so they had to remain peaceful. You had the police officers who could not do anything as long as it was a peaceful assembly, so they had to be peaceful. And you have the counter protesters who also are allowed to be there as long as they are peaceful. So you have all these people who can be there as long as you have peace, and you have to exercise peace. And the way that you exercise peace is you do it in yourself by de-escalating the scenario as much as you can. And then when things escalate or a friend escalates, you de-escalate your buddy and say like, hey, you know, calm down. Yeah. And then you do it as a group. But it starts by not having agitations and not having the system agitations. And if you start to look at the protests and how the protests really went, you'll see that there are systematic agitations that had happened during those protests. And it's really interesting to see, because those systematic agitations only happened towards one group of people at the protest, and those agitations that are systematic agitations, there might be things like getting in someone's face or something like that, but systematic of, you know, calling a group of people to come in and or things of that nature, that happens towards one type of group, and that group is trying to use their voice to say, hey, I want my rights, you know, and that systematic oppression has happened continuously towards black people, whether it's in education, police brutality, health, mental health, and regular health. There are a lot of systematic things where the voices that have been excluded and at the bottom are black people, even like financial things of that nature. And so that, again, is why Black Lives Matter and saying that is because they have been at the bottom, A, but also the target of all of this systematic oppression. And it can be, I mean, the way that I like to tell people is an easy test to do is like when you walk down the street, everybody walks down the street. Sometimes it's crowded. Sometimes it's not crowded. And sometimes you have the same person walking towards you. See who moves first. See who moves first. Because the person who will not move is majority of the time a white male. And the rest of us will majority of the time move. And the reason that is this is a systematic oppression over time, where communities were always told the white male gets to move, get out of his way, right? Or the white woman, get out of her way. And so, you know, my mama pulls me out of the way of the white man. And then the next year, you know, next generations, they're constantly pulling out of the way. So as a society growing up, we've always pulled our children out of our way of the white male, you know, but they've never had to have their way been pulled out of. So now it's kind of like, no, like just watch as you walk down the street, if you naturally instinctually will move out of the way. It's kind of interesting. It is interesting to have that. Even if you don't have it, the system of colonialism, again, white supremacy, has been all over the world. That lens of white has been the lens.
So is this like, does that translate into like, I've been hearing the white privilege.
It is part of white privilege, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Good job, looking for you.
It sounds like, you know, the word privilege is interesting because some people will say, hey, we all have privilege. As an educated person, I have a privilege.
Yes.
This and that. But in respect to racism and color, what does that look like?
So it shows up all the time. So I have always been from a place of not privilege, right? Because from racial privilege. I have educational privilege. Mm-hmm. I have all of these different other... I have cisgendered privilege. Mm-hmm. I have economical privilege. But when it comes for me personally, when it looks like race, it's like when I want to go home and watch a rom-com and I want it to be about someone from my perspective, I will give that as an exercise. Go home. Try to find a rom-com or a movie and all.
Rom-com?
Anything. A romantic comedy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
No. Try to find any movie from a black woman's perspective where the black woman who's the love interest is not a slave or a prostitute. Mm. Okay. So try that. And then just see how long it has to take to just have someone have a movie, A, from your perspective, but B, where they're not perpetuating a negative depiction of you as a woman or an image of you. The other area I see privilege is, you know, my son. My son is a big black boy. He's as tall as I am. He's 10 years old. Bentley wants to be a police officer. He's always wanted to be a police officer since he was 2 years old. All his clothes are police officer shirts. Oh, all his buttons up are police officer button ups. All his YouTube channels are dedicated to police officers. All the shows he watched are Brooklyn Nine-Nine, SWAT, Rescue 911. They're all, even when we were in the Netherlands, it was Stop Politi, which is stop police, you know, so he'll watch police all day long, you know, he'll film them, he will talk
He's
to
doing his research.
Yes. He will talk to a police officer for hours, and he has the vest and the hats and handcuffs and badges and batons and a little ticket book and everything. But the one thing he doesn't have is a toy gun, because if you're a big black boy with a toy gun, you become the next Tamir Rice. And that is privilege, is that your kid can play cop with all the accessories. Well, not really yours. Your kid,
I know what
actually,
you mean.
Your kid can play with all the accessories, you know, that they want, and they can dream about police, being a police officer. But my child, who wants so badly to be one, I have to encourage his dreams and yet protect him from not only police brutality, but also any incident that mm-hmm. might come from me. And mm-hmm. I, as a mom, don't know how to do that. I can be honest with you. I don't know how to encourage his dreams and have the hard conversations about the talk and also protect him so that he can live long enough to be their recruit. And every time I go out to these protests and I have my life on the line and I'm mm-hmm. trying to not traumatize my kid, the only reason why he can be at peace that I go is because his best friend's dad is one of the best police people I know. And so the fact that my kid feels safe when my life is clearly at danger sometimes, I'm just like, okay, but I want all cops to be that to all children. Mm-hmm. You know, all cops need to be that to all children. And that's where the problem lies.
Yeah. Okay, good time for a commercial break.
Is it already?
Yeah, it is. Sponsor Unicorn, you're up.
I wore mascara to not cry, but we're getting to that point.
Our next one is Sarah Clark of Relieves Trading. 100% USDA certified organic hemp is grown at Whole Circle Farms in Oregon, USA. We produce our signature Relieves Deep Freeze Pain Relief Spray in small batches, lovingly crafted to bring you the relief you need. The next is me. This feels always weird. me with Sarah Marie Spectrum. I always say, like, unleash your imagination, embrace your dreams. I do photo shoots. You want to be a superhero, we can do that. Travel around doing that. I am currently doing free senior photos. If you are in high school or college or whatever and had your graduation canceled, I am gladly doing your photos for free. Message me. We did some gas masks and smoke bombs the other day. It was fun. and then next we have Max Malari, a World Financial Group life and health insurance agent. And then we have Allie Everest. I'm so sorry if I mispronounced that. A Bohine Salon and Spa. She is at 961 Dana Drive, Suite 130. She has amazing facials, you guys. Yeah, that is our sponsors.
Thank you guys for making our show happen. And we'll be back here shortly with Gloria Kimwala on the Women of Vision show, KCNR.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenny.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In June, we're discussing the 4-letter words of the writing process. Those are scary words like edit and read and show versus tell. In July, we take a look at marketing and how you can make money with your books.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Hello, hello, everybody. We are back on the Women of Vision show here, sitting down with the lovely Gloria Kimwala, who is just... I'm going to say it again. You're lovely. Like, you just are a really amazing woman, and... It's an honor to get to talk to you about about Black Lives Matter tonight and helping us all become a little bit more educated on the issue and what we can do as a community and as individuals to try and start start that fire to continue, because it can't just go for a week here, guys. Like, this is something that we need to educate ourselves on and continue to make strides to help make a change. So thank you for sitting with us tonight.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that it's going to be important to us for many levels. You know, the main level is that these type of perspectives have been silenced for a long time. You know, I hear two narratives all the time, like Reading isn't diverse and Reading is racist. Well, Reading actually is diverse. Like, you know, there's a lot of different communities, and there have been lots of communities since the beginning of, before it was even called Reading, you know. We're on, you know, tribal land. And not even just one tribe. We've earned a lot of different tribes, tribal land. But there have been people who have been silenced during that time, and there hasn't been a sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. And what we really need to try to strive for is a sense of belonging. And that kind of comes down, like, I think sometimes people think, like, oh, eventually I'll get in. Yeah, sure, my kids can play here. But, you know, in this day and age, when we just had COVID and we told everybody, like, you can work from home, you can live from home, you can educate your kids from home, people are really starting to figure out, like, where do they want that home to be? Mm-hmm. And Reading is, like, awesome, you know, like they have like rivers and mountains and, you know, community, and we can be like a great place to be. You know, the cost of living is really low. We're actually really close to San Francisco, where some of these kids have been in apartments all day long, and they want to have buy a house, and they can like literally buy a house for cash or, you know, on their salaries. And we can say like, yes, come to Reading, come be in Reading. But they've had these conversations about racism and like bigotry and things like that, so they can sense it right away. So if their first time to Reading is encountering racism, then all that says is like, you know what, don't come, don't bring your money, don't bring your kids, don't bring. And for us, who are our community, the lifeline of our community are small businesses that are really hurting right now. Mm-hmm. I think that people need to make the economic decision and protect these small businesses. Like we all say, like, oh, we're going to protect the small businesses. Well, do that with your actions on a bigger level and make Reading anti-racist. Like, don't do anything that can be perceived as racist. You know, get racism out of your heart, get it out of your home, get it out of your school, get it out of your business, and get it out of our community. Because we don't have to have that narrative. The narrative can change. The narrative is, you belong here. You know, Reading has a sense of belonging. You belong here. And we're anti-racist. You know, anti-racist Reading, you belong here too. And if there's something that makes it not possible for you to embrace one of those two narratives, you really got to check it in yourself as to what it is, you know, and do the work. And I know that there's a lot of people who have children who, you know, whose the kids are black, their grandkids are black, their friend is black. And if you don't even have a black friend, then you should sit there and say, from a constitutional position, for the fabric of our Constitution, of all men and women are created equal, this needs to happen in order for that to be true. And I think that that's where people can actually understand it a little bit more and say, okay, I'm committed. I'm going to do the work. I'm going to be accepting for all different types of people so that they feel safe here. And one way you do that is you listen. You know, if you are one of the oppressed groups, you use your voice from your perspective, you know, and listen from that side of it. You don't stay in the guilt section, because that actually is still a part of like covert white supremacy. But you say, okay, now I know, and we're going to do better. And usually when I talk to somebody, I say like, hey, you're experiencing blatant white supremacy, covert white supremacy, but you're practicing the system, you're creating trauma. You're creating trauma, and it looks like this. Now, I'm going to assume you want to be an ally. You know, I assume you're going to want to do right. This is how you do right. Now go do better. Now you know. Now go do better. You're going to do the work to find out why it's offensive or why I shouldn't do it. So do the work and go do better. And one thing that I've been really pushing is for every school, every church, every library to have that anti-racist literature so that their price point is not a reason why you can't access it. And so that people can engage. And I think that that's a great start, you know, reading the books, watching the film. Like if you had to read one book, I would read White Supremacy and Me, because it's a system that we've all been under. And it's a really good conversation. And even if you can't do that, their author is on Instagram. I would follow her Instagram. She has some really great conversations. White Supremacy and Me is great. The second one, if you had to read or watch a film, it would probably be 13th. 13 would be a good film. And then American Son Together is really a great combination. If you have kids, I would say to watch Melody from The American Girl's Tale. I think it's on Amazon Prime, and that does a really good job from a kid's perspective of understanding it. But, you know, there's also other, like, ones that can kind of show perspectives of, like, Remember the Titans. Remember the Titans is a great film about allyship, you know, when you start to talk about it from that, and bringing the kids, bringing communities together and having a winning team. And I think that's also important, too. So you're going to be doing a lot of work. We're going to be doing a lot of work, you know, and we're going to have a lot of pitfalls and a lot of revelations. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. I still make tons of mistakes right now. But I just always say I'm going to ask for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. You know, now I know. I didn't know then. Now I know. Thank you for letting me know. Let's go do better. And that's what we can do.
Yeah. The other thing that I was also, I think you mentioned on the phone too, you had like, you were doing some kind of, was it like a, some kind of document?
Yeah. So we were having a anti-racism pledge that you could take. And I've been getting a group together. We're calling like a Citizens for Restorative Justice. We're just trying to get together and figure out the work that needs to be done in our community. And, you know, how come the work hasn't been done before? What can we do?
Yeah.
One of the documents that we're starting with is a anti-racist pledge or anti-racism pledge that kind of breaks it down from like, this is one area where racism is experienced. Can you do, can I do this? Yes, I can do this. No, I can't. I can kind of do it. You know, like it gives you kind of like a range, a spectrum, and that you can participate in. And we're just asking that people, you know, fill it out, take a good look at it in depth, and kind of say, where can you do it? So I like to say, you know, your home should have an anti-racism pledge. You yourself should have an anti-racism pledge. Every public place, a school, a business should have an anti-racism pledge. And then us as a city, we should have it for our city officials and our city itself to say, like, yes, we're going to move towards anti-racist. And I have faith that the people in Reading, when they see racism, that they know is racism, will speak up. You know, that creates a huge safety for everybody. I feel that that when they can do good, they will always choose to do the good, you know. And I will not live in fear. Like I even having this, being on this show, it's like, okay, now you just amplify my voice. What does that mean? You know, I'm like, I can't live in fear because I'm such a privileged person. I won't lose my job, you know, to take, because I take a stand. I take a stand on this issue globally all the time. So it's not ruining my reputation. I have just a way to talk that I enjoy doing it. And I have personal experiences where I have had the privilege of being able to see a lot of different sides. But my voice isn't the only voice that deserves to be heard. There's a lot of different voices. So I want to empower everybody to use your voice. You know, if you've experienced racism here, say why. You know, if Black Lives Matter means something to you, say why it is and what the reason is. And, you know, hashtag it anti-racist ready. Anti-racist ready. Like, put that on it and say, this is what we're going to be doing moving forward. When you see love towards all different types of people, show that message. Amplify that narrative. Like, change the narrative from these people are silent and they're never here to, yes, these people belong here, you belong here, and we're going to do the work to know, to let you all know that you belong here too.
So is there a website or somewhere?
You can just follow me. I'm always public. You know, like, I'm always public.
Where can we find this information, you know what I mean, so that we can
have
it in our homes and be able to share it with people too, that information.
I'm always public. I'll keep that pledge in my bio. I can commit to keeping that pledge in my bio for the next, you know, whatever, my code of conduct and the anti-racism pledge. And we're nailing out the final details of it right now. So if you just keep a lookout for it, too. But if you follow me, I will always perpetuate it and let people know. I'm pretty transparent on that.
Yeah, because I feel like the protests, I mean, they are pretty
Oh, we'll be asking a lot.
All right. Thank you so much for sitting down with us tonight.
Oh, you're welcome.
And definitely hope to have you in here more frequently so that we can just talk with you more.
Yeah.
So thank you again for sitting down with us tonight. Wonderful show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
We are Women of Vision.
Have a great Tuesday night.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.